Fear, The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 27, The Unveiling, Children of Wrath Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode. The last episode for a while, I think, of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And Ruthie is not here, and I'm not going to play it this time.
I almost waited to like, yeah. Okay, is she going to pop in?
All right, so we are here to talk about a couple of really good episodes, I think. I think that's our conclusion.
Uh-huh.
Season 3, Episode 7, which is titled The Unveiling, which was written by Mark Richard. At least I think he's called Mark Richard, you know, as opposed to the French-Canadian way, Richard. Like Maurice Rocket Richard. Anyway, famous hockey player. Directed by Jeremy Webb. And then Season 3, Episode 8, which was titled Children of Wrath, which didn't seem to have much to do with the episode from last season, Wrath, but I thought it might. That was written by Jamie O'Brien and directed by Andrew Bernstein. And both of those people are co-executive producers on the show. All right. What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, first, some info about this episode. And it really, I guess this doesn't count as info for this episode. It was more about the episode 100, I guess, and that previous episode. That was during Talking Dead, Coleman Domingo revealed that when he was in his early 20s, he was a circus performer, which I was surprised to hear. And he actually went into more detail on the segment that you'll hear online, which is, or see online, is Talking Dead. Turns out that, he was a circus performer for a couple of years. I guess that's before he got into acting. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get right into ratings. Season 3, Episode 7, which was the one that started at 9, that got a 0.93 in 18 to 49. Unfortunately, it didn't get over 1. I was hoping it would. But it was up from last week with 2.621 million. And then the 10 p.m., the actual finale, I guess, the Children of Wrath, Season 3, Episode 8, got a 0.83 in the 18 to 49 with 2.402 million. That compares to last week, which was, you know, during the 4th of July, I guess I'll call it a pseudo weekend because a lot of people didn't get Monday off. I did.
Yeah.
but ratings were down pretty much across the board in the, on the live, but actually in the live plus three, things seem to recover quite nicely, but it also got a 0.83 at the earlier time period, but it was lower in total viewers with 2.193 million. So summary of that, it was, both were either higher or the same in the 18 to 49, but both were higher in total viewers than last week. 2 weeks ago, just to compare, it got a 0.96 and 2.499 million. So in other words, in the 1849 was slightly down, but the 9 p.m. was up in viewers. So,
well, good.
Yeah. Anyway, decent. Certainly steady.
Yeah.
Talking Dead was at the 11:10 p.m., you know, because of the 2 hour and 10 minute, actually, you know, episodes. It got a 0.31 in the 1849 with 880,000 viewers. And that isn't bad, actually. Compared to last week, which was at 10 p.m., it got a 0.30 and 914,000 viewers. So it was down in the total number of viewers, up in the ratings demographic. And considering it was quite a bit later, that's not bad. 2 weeks ago at 11 p.m., to compare, it got a 0.25 and 700,000. So actually, compared to that, it did quite a bit better. And of course, 2 weeks ago, it was delayed because of Preacher.
Yeah.
So if you go on Facebook in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/walkingdeadgsm. And I just give that for anyone who hasn't been listening to us, but I think pretty much everyone that normally listens to us knows that one. But I post the ratings when they come out, and I have charts. So, because I'm that kind of guy. But you can see that ratings have been fairly steady. And, you know, from last week, they're basically up. So that's pretty good. I'm happy to see that. And I'm hoping that episode 9 and 10, when it comes out, it will go up a little bit, because people have had a little bit of a buzz about this half season.
Yeah, so. I agree. I mean, seeing it steady actually seems to be, you know, that's a good trajectory. You know, it's the base, if you want to call it, are sticking with it. But the stuff I've been reading online, there's a lot of buzz starting to build up. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Even on Rotten Tomatoes, I was looking at that, and season 3 has an 88% rating, which is actually pretty good. Yeah. I think that's better than Walking Dead got last season. So. All right. Well, we've got some news, so let's not delay. First one is some sad news. You've all heard his voice previously on Fear the Walking Dead. And then, you know, next week or whatever, that guy, the voice of AMC, basically Randy Schell, died on Saturday from a skydiving accident in Texas. So, our condolences to his family. It's very sad to hear that. I guess I, read that he was in, you know, they were doing a maneuver, I guess, and he and another guy collided or something, and, their chute, his chute, I guess, or one of the chutes didn't deploy, and he ended up dying. That's sad. All right. So next thing, and this is a pet peeve of mine. In fact, I got into it today with a fellow podcaster. I won't say who, but there was an article about, it was just before the finale, where Dave Erickson said that Madison isn't related to any character on The Walking Dead. And I was really hoping that this was going to put to bed that, but it didn't, because this other podcaster said there's still a chance. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I basically, they were saying that he said that as far as he knows, so he didn't say unequivocally no, he said as far as he knows. And I'm like, gee whiz, he's the showrunner, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's
But I guess the fact that he's departing and, you know, he co-created it with Kirkman. I'm really hoping, since Hardwick brought it up on Talking Dead this week, I really hope he's going to ask this question.
Yeah.
And once and for all, the producers will, like, not give a cagey answer. Just unequivocally say no. It's not that I have a problem with it. You know, if it were true, great. But it's like, there's no evidence of that. Stop it. It's the same. It's the same kind of thing that I go absolutely nuts over with the Enid is a spy people. She's not a spy. And the same podcaster thinks that she is a spy and is not giving it up. And I just was like, I did a facepalm when I was talking to them on Twitter today. All right. Next thing, Fear the Walking Dead has an attraction coming to Vegas sometime this summer. And it doesn't say any more than that. And what I read is that the Fear the Walking Dead survival experience is part thrill ride, part escape room, part maze, part haunted house, and part video game, all set against the backdrop of the popular TV series. The new attraction will feature elaborate sets, immersive video and audio, as well as high-tech motion simulator technology. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that this is going to be a part of the Fremont Street experience, which last time I was in Vegas, I stayed part of the time on Fremont Street. It's pretty cool down there. I don't go to Vegas very much, like, ever, but if I go, I'd certainly check it out. So,
yeah, I would figure it would come out after Comic-Con, because that seems like that would be something that they would kind of, even parts of it, if they would do something. But yeah, I figure once that's over, that's probably when it'll show up there, if it's this summer.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
And I provided a couple of links to it on the Facebook group. So if you're interested, check it out. And there's another interesting article that I posted on vulture.com of an interview with Steven Yeun. And it was interesting for a couple of reasons. It's actually a very long interview piece. And I don't remember the name of the interviewer, but he's also a Korean American. So there was a lot of talk about that. And of course he's in, that movie Okja, that came out on Netflix week before last. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he was talking about that, but it was actually really interesting article. And, you know, he was very genuine. He's a really down to earth guy, you know, for being a well-known actor and star. He just seemed really down to earth, and made me like him as a person even more than I already did. So I highly, highly recommend, if you are into Glenn and Steven Yeun, check out that article. And the link to it is on Facebook, but it's on vulture.com. You can do a search. All right. Last bit of news is another Walking Dead article. And just briefly, Christian Zeratos, it's like remind me of what happened with Elena Masterson. Last year with the problems that she, you know, people complaining about her weight and stuff like that. Christian Zeratos, you know, a couple of months ago just had a baby, and she posted on Instagram a picture of basically her baby nursing. And she responded with another pic. It basically looked like she was in the dressing room, you know, getting makeup and that. And she said, "This is my body and my page, so I will post what I want when I want. Those who disapprove can suck my left boop." And then she says, with a smiley face and a little kiss. Hashtag working mom, hashtag chill. And the baby's on the right. Boop.
I didn't see that until I saw it here, and then I looked it up. But I was she getting stuff online? Were people being haters, I guess? I don't know. I didn't get a chance to go see her.
I didn't
page.
I didn't look at the comments, Instagram. But apparently, you know, some people just like they're it's just so like
stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it's a natural thing, and you know, it's like, okay, if you don't want to see it, just don't, you know, just ignore it.
Yeah.
But
anyways, well, good for her.
Good for her too. All right. Ratings as far as what we thought of these two episodes. What did you think, Kyle?
Well, I really, really, really loved like this whole, you know, two-parter. I kind of consider it, okay, it was one because basically, you know, it recorded for 2 hours and 10 minutes. But I gave it a 9.8 Dosvidanya Kosmonaut Vashinko.
Dosvidanya. Too bad he can't have his vodka.
No, that's sad.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think these two episodes, and I'm judging them as a pair, I think this is the best that we've had on the show. And, you know, we've had a few very good ones this half season. But I think I think this really hit on all levels. So I am giving it, and I rated it a few different ways, 9.7 Little Maddie Daddy Killers or Stranded Cosmonauts or Kitchen Atrocities or 9.7 Weaponized Ophelias.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Yeah. So looking at it, you know, as individual episodes, because, you know, strangely enough, like if you look at it online, like if you go to AMC.com, it's not posting them as a single thing, although on the DVR it is. But individually, they're two different episodes, and I think if you like have to purchase them, it's also two different episodes. And strangely enough, they had two separate coming to, you know, like the previews. They had two separate previews. So we saw one preview last week, and there were two other versions of it. That one just had a preview of episode 7, and one had a preview of episode 8. I was really surprised when I saw that online, but
yeah. But well, maybe that's for like, maybe that's for DVD or, you know, like,
yeah,
when it comes in that kind of format, not just when it aired.
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, that's how it, you know, if you're purchasing it on iTunes or Google Play, or, you know, you're watching it later on Hulu, because, you know, I think they have some of the stuff on Hulu, but they don't actually post the episodes until the season's out. But it's for that. So I thought the first part was a lot more tense, but there were a couple of things about it that really annoyed me, which we'll get to. The second part was more talky, but great. And a lot of ways. And one thing in particular, well, two things in particular sort of related, I thought were totally three things. we're totally awesome. All right. But we got some listener ratings as well. You want to take Laura's?
Yeah. Okay. Laura, she gave it, if I am rating this on Fear's past performance, I would have to give this 10 out of 10 heads in a backpack. So she liked it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Dieta said, I'm rating this episode 9 out of 10. Anthrax poisonings turned into walkers / zombies.
All right. And Whitney, she gives it a rating of 8.5 out of 10. And
just, I'll say, Whitney, I hope Mickey gets well. She said that she only got to see it once before posting it because she's dealing with a very sick cat. So get well, Mickey. I hope you're doing well. And hope everything's good.
Sure it is. Will be.
And Malika, my psychic friend. although we weren't too psychic this time. She said 9.9 hot walkers. And I mean the man. Sorry, but I believe I just found someone of the opposite sex on both shows who I find attractive. And I asked her, she's like,
what it was.
Yeah. So I'm like, on both shows, like, who is it on The Walking Dead that you find attractive? No, she meant this is the first one on either show that she finds attractive. So as far as sexy men, she thinks that, Walker is quite sexy, I guess.
I'm a seducer of people,
I like that. You know, that's a great rating, and you know, Walker's a good looking guy. But I thought Nick was, with his haircut, really kind of was like, wait, I don't remember him looking that way. That haircut, I think, did a lot for him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he was, he looked quite a bit better there with that shorter hair. All right. It is time for.
And I'm Ruthie.
And her awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce.
All right. So our first awesome sauce is from Laura. And actually, Laura had three. So let's go with the first one. Go ahead, Kyle.
Okay. So Laura, her first awesome sauce, Strand's entire scene. It was at first fearful, frightening, the dead on a half shunk or fighting the dead on a half sunken ship, dipping at crazy angles, made me feel a bit claustrophobic. Then it became heartbreaking when Strand spoke with the Russian cosmonaut and felt the weight of isolation. I could actually imagine that might be the worst thing about the apocalypse, being completely alone. And Coleman Domingo played that scene so well. And I have to say, like, this was my awesome sauce, which I'll go into later. But I mean, I really love the scene. And I watched it like several times today when I was doing my rewatch. And it was just his banter with his new Russian friend, you know, it's like there was just the dialogue in that moment, like being able to like see it on caption and just like watching it over again. It really was a turning point for our dear friend Strand, which I mean, I'll go into later because I just loved that scene. It was, to me, I was very, very happy. Like just the whole way it was done.
You think it's kind of a goodbye to the finer life and he'll adjust better, because let's face it, this half season he hasn't done too well.
No, and it to me is like that is a really was like a real turning point for our dear friend Strand, which I'll go into later. You go.
All right. Laura's next one, and we're actually gonna do something weird with hers, but we'll get into why in a minute. Her second one is the final scene with Jeremiah and Madison. The fact that she was going to kill him took me by surprise, but then I got the double shock of Nick taking the kill shot. A totally unexpected ending, though, like you, Brian, I caught the actor slip up on The Talking Dead and was expecting Jeremiah to die soon. Just not like that. And we're going to, instead of going into her third one, we're going to go into Dieta's awesome sauce because it's related. And she says, Nick killing Otto. So I was not surprised at all that Madison would kill Jeremiah. I mean, she had done the same to Celia in the season finale last season. Mid-season finale last season. But I was surprised by a few things in that scene. First is that she didn't want to have to kill him herself. I just figured she was going to go there and just, you know, point the gun and pop, pop, pop. But she tried to get him to kill himself rather than do that because she was, you know, worried about disappointing her kids yet again. And I'm pretty sure she would have. In fact, in the last viewing, I spent a little bit of Subruder time going through it. And yes, she was lifting the gun to point it at him. But before she could pull the trigger, Nick did it. And that's the second thing I found very surprising, is that Nick killing him, I thought was, I thought he was going to try to stop her when he showed up. And I think that's a great progression of Nick's character. I mean, he has changed, grown up. He didn't go running after Luciana, which, you know, I would have, that's what I would have expected him to do, but he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then the last thing about that, and that's, you know, you see this montage, of course, but it ends with Otto Head. Otto Head. That was really surprising, I'm telling you. I did not expect her to basically open up that knapsack, or, you know, what could have been a bowling ball bag. I think it was just a regular knapsack. And there he is.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a nice fake head, too. It looked just like him. So, all right. You want to go to her last awesome sauce? Lara's third and final awesome sauce.
And Lara's final awesome sauce was lastly that dark rendition of Stand By Me to top off the finale, Haunting. And I totally agree. Like, I didn't catch that my first watch, but then when I watched it with captions, like, they, you know, they definitely make a point of, like, making sure you know what song it is. But yeah, it was kind of brilliant.
Well, I guess it was, but maybe it's just me showing my age a little bit. But I didn't care for it that much. And I think maybe it was because it's like I have a certain attachment to Stand By Me. It reminds me of my time at University of Waterloo. That's also when Stand By Me came out. I think it was in the 86. Because, of course, that had Wil Wheaton pre-Wesley Crusher. But, you know, that I remember that song a lot in those years, and, you know, that's what I go back to. I just thought this one was so weird. So I think it's a cultural bias, or, you know, a nostalgia bias, but
it's okay.
Yeah. All right. Whitney, she said, I enjoyed the Strand boat scene a lot, especially the talk of the with the cosmonaut. It was a sad but beautiful interaction. She also says, I guess her part two, great acting on the part of Sam Underwood, who plays Jake, of course, in the I'm about to get scalped scene. Oh, yeah. His expression was so believable. Glad he made it out alive. And then her last awesome sauce, yes to more walkers in action. The poisoning was a surprise. So glad Nick is also alive, because he, along with Daniel, are my favorite fear characters. Yes, I agree. In fact, that was one of my awesome sauces. And I said, hashtag, finally, there is Ophelia, as opposed to where is Ophelia? Hashtag, there is Ophelia. And holy crap. The last thing I expected her to do was to poison the militia, but it was really shocking. And wow, I was just like sitting there watching it with my mouth agape going, oh my God, what she did that, you know, this little, you know, baby doll dress wearing character from season one. Wow. That was pretty badass. I mean, even if she didn't know that it was anthrax that she was, you know, putting in, still, you know, the act of poisoning them was pretty ruthless and badass. So.
Yeah. And I like how they kind of, like, to me, I'm like, I didn't catch that at all. Like, you know, or just even thinking it was her at first. So it was like, it kind of, to me, was they surprised me. I for some reason was not following in that at the time. And so for her to finally, like, I mean, as soon as I saw her, you know, like make that look when they were running out there with the people screaming, like Madison and Alicia were running out and they're hearing the scream. I was like, oh, I'm like, okay, girl, like, there you go. You're causing trouble.
Yeah. All right. We have one more awesome sauce from our listeners, and looks like now that I'm reading it, maybe I should have included it with the second Lara awesome sauce, but go ahead and read that.
Okay. All right. Malika says her awesome sauce, Madison trying to convince Otto to shoot himself and then Nick coming in and doing it himself.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was very impressed by that. Like I said before. Okay. Do you have any, I have two awesome sauce eye left. Do you have any more?
No. I mean, I pretty much what everybody else is, you know, I pretty much was on the same page as everybody else. Kind of took mine.
Yeah. All right. Well, my two awesome sauces were something that just blew my mind. And I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, but before, you know, we get the Madison reveal, which is my final awesome sauce, but we'll get to that in a second. But before that, Alicia says things to Madison millions of fans at this point have wanted to say. And here's the clip.
All your talk about family.
I know it's hard to understand.
It's impossible to understand. You're just like them. You're worse. You're heartless.
Don't say that.
You don't have feelings.
Alicia.
No wonder Dad was so depressed. He was living with a goddamn corpse.
Enough. If I wasn't busy keeping everyone else alive, I would have time for feelings. I'd love that luxury. I'd love to indulge myself, but someone has to be strong. Someone has to keep everyone else together. You have no idea what I carry.
Wow.
Yeah.
But seriously, she said that she has no feelings, that she's heartless, that she's like a corpse, that you know, no wonder her father was so depressed, you know, like, you know, because he was married to a goddamn corpse. That is brutal, but I swear, these are the things that people have not liked about this character. Mm-hmm. And we'll get more into that in a minute, but yeah, I mean, that this is something that I think, I wish that I would have heard this in season two, you know, to like somebody finally stood up and said, you're heartless. Like you've mm-hmm. got no emotions. These are the criticisms of this character that we've seen ever since the show started. So I had to applaud the writers for hitting it dead mm-hmm. on.
No, I do agree. I feel like, you know, they're coming a long way with the writing and with the kind of the direction of the show now. And yeah, we could have heard, we should have seen this a long time ago, but glad to see it now.
Yeah. And I gave it away, but the last awesome sauce that I had, and how could I not? In fact, I'm surprised nobody else brought it up, but Madison was a little Maddie Daddy killer, as I said in my rating. This one was so mind-blowing. I have two clips.
One morning, she ate her cereal. She brushed her teeth for school. She took the gun out of her daddy's dresser. She shot him. Shot him while he slept off the night before.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she doesn't say this, but I wonder how young was she when this happens, like 10, 12, yeah. 8? Like that, I was wondering this, but I just put a ballpark figure on it that she was like 10, maybe 11, something like that, because it sounded like she was still a little girl. So, but no wonder she has been so cold. I mean, that really, for me, explained a lot about her character. And, mm-hmm. and you know, we said it before, but I wish that we would have heard this before now, because it would have made me appreciate her, those qualities of her character, I think, a lot more. And she mentions, you know, that she's carrying a burden. So that's the final clip of this.
My mama looked at me then, like you're looking at me now. I knew that was something I'd have to carry. I'd do it again. I'd live with the look. I'd do it 1,000 times to protect her. To protect you.
And we kind of see that, you know, what happens in her next action. So anyway, I love this. I wish I would have seen it before now, but that's it for our awesome sauce, unless you just came up with something.
No, nothing new.
All right. Weak variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. We have weak sauce, or as Laura likes to call it, lame sauce. I really need to find something for that. But the only thing I've found that would fit that is Gordon Ramsay saying, "Where's the lamb sauce?" But one of the other Walking Dead podcasts used that, so I didn't want to use it.
Well,
it's pretty funny though if you ever hear that on or see that on YouTube. Where's the lamb sauce?
I can hear his voice saying that too.
All right.
Well, Laura gave her lame sauce as Madison driving into the Black Hat Reservation with Ophelia and no backup, and then just leaves with no retaliation after hearing that her son could die of anthrax. It's a bit unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was kind of unbelievable, the fact that, you know, she just, like, she doesn't react so much, and you know, basically they let her go. And I would say it was slightly unbelievable. So I agree.
All right. Well, Dieta's weak sauce is Madison, the shit starter. And then Whitney gives her weak sauce of several Madison scenes, to include her going off with Troy and company to rescue Alicia, and as a result, getting people killed on both sides, etc. Although I'm happy about more of her backstory reveal, I still am highly irritated with her character a lot. She also says, I still have an issue with her enabling, accepting Troy and some of her decisions, which endanger the group as a whole. I guess she isn't my favorite, but just okay.
Yeah. So this was, one of my weak sauces too. And well, I guess, there's like two parts to Whitney. So I have points for both. Madison doing dumb things again. And like, why must she rescue Alicia and potentially start a war? Basically, she did start a war when everyone's telling her that Alicia's safe and that they should give the parley a chance. Even Troy was against going on a mission at first. To me, that action was almost as dumb as her turning on the hotel lights. As even dumber than, you know, going crazy at the gang market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it guaranteed that there was going to be no peace. Like, that was, I think, a crazy move. And I think that it was done without any thought. It was all emotion driven, and it really, you know, like I say, and I will forgive it a little more, like on the last watch, or maybe the second to last watch, I did kind of put it into context with the backstory reveal. And then, on my very final watch, basically some thought about, you know, something Jeremiah said reminded me, well, you know, her first experience with Walker was seeing McCarthy scalped and, you know, that whole, party that was with him, you know, slaughtered there. So that probably didn't give a good first impression of him, you know. So she's like, that, you know, and didn't want to say anything derogatory, unlike somebody else. But yeah, so I guess I can understand it, but still, it's like everyone's telling you not to do anything, and she's just impulsively, you know, going to start a war. And secondly, after listening, I know I talked about this last episode, but listening to myself on the podcast last week and reading some of the things that I said on the Facebook group, I don't think I hit home enough one of my big points that I had about Madison, just in general. So I'm going to give it another go now. They based her character's power, like her dominant traits, okay? So her ability to manipulate people, that she's controlling, like basically her ability to lead is based on, you know, her ability to manipulate and control people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her kind of like just her general impulsivity and coldness especially are traits that people find undesirable, distasteful, and basically negative. That's a foundation that makes a character, you know, despite what we learn at the end, a lot of people are going to still find that character very difficult to like. And I think no matter what they reveal, like, you know, reveal everything about Madison, because we still don't know specifics about what happened with the suicide. Mm-hmm. Like why was her first husband so depressed? Well, and that whole thing about Travis being her husband, like husband, boyfriend, common law husband. I don't know what it is. Maybe they got, you know, maybe they said their marriage vows at the hotel or something. But you know, she now refers to him as husband, whatever, husband, pseudo husband, boyfriend, whatever. Husband is fine as I, you know, but anyway,
what is this bizarre segue that's happening right now?
But anyway, Madison, you know, is a character based on these, you know, what can you say about her? These are traits that are going to make her unlikable to a lot of people. And I think that there's going to be a percentage of viewers that are never going to like her because of this. Mm. And you contrast this against Rick. Rick, when you first meet him, he is trying to find his wife and son, you know, and endears us to him. And, you know, like I said last episode, he's my guy. He's my number one character in general of any show. Like, not just The Walking Dead, but he's my character. I will follow him to the end. And I love Rick Grimes's character. And I love Andrew Lincoln's performance of that character. I wish he would be up for Emmys. I think he's so amazing playing that role. But anyway, point I was trying to make is that you contrast his character to Madison, and he's so much more likable and relatable than she is, you know? So that's all I got to say about that. But I think I really now said what I wanted to say last week.
Cool.
All right. Awesome sauce for you?
We're on weak sauce.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, oh.
And I'm Ruthie.
No, that's not what I meant to say.
That was funny.
No, we'll do it live.
It's been a long time since I used the "we'll do it live," but it seemed appropriate in that case because I think I'm going to leave all of that craziness. Okay. Actually, we missed a weak sauce of one of the listeners. So why don't we go with that first and then go into yours?
Okay. All right. So, yeah, Malika, her weak sauce was all of the time jumps. I think I was able to follow it okay, but I just found it annoying and wondered why it was even necessary.
And I had to ask her about that one because I was like, time jumps? Like, what was she talking about? I didn't really pick up on that. And she was saying about, like, Ophelia's face and how, you know, she would be one point where she had a bunch of bruises and cuts, and then, you know, you go to the next scene and she didn't. And I was like, I guess I missed all that, because the times that I watched this episode, it was either on my iPad or on my phone. So I never actually watched it on the big screen. So maybe I kind of just missed it. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know. Because the only time, I mean, I guess whenever she's with Walker and we see her the first time, she was fine. But then when Walker does his little, you know, descend Ophelia trick, and then they beat her up. But yeah. I didn't see any time, you know, any kind of time jump or something like that. So yeah, I'll have to ask her for a little more info.
Yeah.
So I missed it.
All right. Yours.
All right. Yes. Mine down here.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
All right. Well, I guess my weak sauce was Madison's trust in Ophelia was probably my weak sauce overall. I felt like Madison at this point should have read right through her lie about her getting kicked out of Walker's camp. She just seemed to just, okay, sure. Yeah. Like that's what happened. I mean, they even kind of had that little discussion after, or like, I guess Otto asked her, is like, well, do you believe that or whatever? And then he was like, okay, then, you know, you're her charge then, Madison. But then even then she's like, okay, well, you're going to have to do your part. And then she was like, oh yeah, I ran Walker's kitchen. And she's like, oh, okay, that's a good idea. And then just, you know, like then put her in charge of the kitchen. I don't know. I feel like up to that point, there was already this kind of distrust of her when they first see her, and then any kind of interactions with her, that she just kind of, I don't know. I didn't get it. It just didn't add up to me.
The distrust or her trust? What do you mean?
No, her trust. Just like they were already having a kind of distrust of her when she first showed up. Like, it, you know, it didn't seem like they're like, oh, Ophelia, you're alive. You're back. It was kind of like, oh, well, what the heck are you doing here? And like, oh yeah, you left us to die, or, you know, whatever. Just to just kind of put her in any kind of position. I felt like they should have just locked her up and just said, hey, you just stay here. And instead they put her to work in the kitchen.
Yeah. In fact, that was going to be, one of my weak sauces. I also thought it was really dumb for them to put her in the kitchen after Walker just attacked, or,
yeah,
you know, I should say that's incorrect, that they just attacked the Black Hat Reservation, you know, they attacked, and, you know, the next thing you know, they're sending Ophelia back to, you know, Brokejaw, and they just like, and even when they're talking with her in the one room, like Jake says, as if, you know, and even Madison said, like, that she didn't seem to know much about the reservation. So they, you know, her claim that, you know, that Walker thought that, you know, they gave him some, you know, secret, or she gave them some secret info or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't believable, yet they turn around and put her in the kitchen, and it's like, and they're not even like, you know, supervising her in any way. I mean, and she goes out and, you know, serves some really bad coffee.
I don't know. Cause I'd have to watch it again to just be like, try to figure something out. But it just overall was like, okay, that makes no sense. Like, okay, whatever. Sure. I guess helps push the story along.
I mean, it was shocking that, you know, what she did. And, you know, I certainly didn't see that coming, but I mean, in hindsight, you're like, well, duh, You know?
Well, no, yeah, I know. And I didn't really kind of get on that point till after I watched it again, going like, wait a minute. Like, that makes no sense.
And I know I've got this in the discussion later, but, you know, we kind of learn more about, you know, why she's got a thing against Otto later on. Because we knew that, you know, Jeremiah came across and, you know, was shooting at her, you know, from last season. And, you know, yet she didn't join the group. So something must have went down. We finally see it later, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for weak sauce. So let's move on to feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, our first bit of feedback is from Laura again. She gave us a lot of feedback this week. And I think, Laura, I don't know if we've ever given it to you before, but I think you deserve the showcase winner. So congratulations, Laura, for all your feedback this week. And like everyone else lately, you received a year's supply of...
Hey, and that's very important in this world.
In fact, Black Hat needs...
All right, well, Laura says... This show has done a complete 180 for me from completely disliking episode 1 and 2. I really think it comes from the addition of the new characters at Brokejaw Ranch and the Black Hat Nation and the fleshing out of characters like Daniel Salazar. The characters have flaws, some of them lots of flaws, but they are three-dimensional and intriguing. I like the dark and gritty realism of Fear as a differentiating quality from the main show. I will even give Madison a break because, like everyone else on the show, she is severely flawed. I still don't like her, but her story is becoming an integral part of the show.
Yeah, and I remember, Laura, that you were kind of in the minority about episodes 1 and 2. I know you said you did not like them at all, and I know we did. But yeah, on the whole, when looking at the half season, I got to agree. I mean, quite honestly, you know, a little bit of truth here. I was debating whether or not to cover season 3, and I knew Ruthie had decided not to. And, you know, so it was a bit of a, you know, should I do this? Shouldn't I? And partly because, you know, I like to complete things. I didn't want to give up on the show. And I think, you know, the last two episodes of season 2, you know, with good old Travis, you know, killing the Brotastic Bros, and, you know, how it ended. I think that was enough to kind of fuel me to, like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing it. And, you know, and of course, Kyle was an obvious choice because of his outstanding feedback and several showcase wins, I think. but anyway, you know, so I wasn't, you know, really sure that it was the right decision to do season 3, but I am so glad that I did. And obviously glad that I've got Kyle with me doing it, because I think this is definitely the best half season of the show to date. And I would say in many ways, although I won't say unequivocally, I know some people have said it, but it was better than much of last season's Walking Dead. And I mean, there were some incredible portions of last season, but, you know, there were some stinkers, like, you know, of course, the trash people I can't stand. And I've talked about that in length. Actually, both of us have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I think about them.
Yeah. Anyway, so I, you know, and it wasn't just that. I mean, there were just some, there were some parts of season seven that were really difficult to watch. And, you know, we really kind of, you know, our characters, you know, hit a low, and it's hard to watch characters that you really love at the lows that we were seeing, you know, subjugated and all of that. But anyway, a lot of high points too. But this season, I think, you know, they made a lot of good changes. I think adding the tension of the tension of the, you know, the Native Americans, getting to see preppers, although I don't necessarily think that this is a realistic portrayal of preppers, but certainly some aspects of it are. So I think finally getting to see some was good. You know, Daniel's back, and I can't wait to see what we see of him in the next half season. So, and of course, you know, the death of Travis and the badass of Travis in the first episode, I think it's definitely the best half season to date. And I can't wait to see what we're going to get in 3B.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
I mean, overall, I think generally, like in what I've read online and just how people are talking about the show, it's like this season so far has really kind of stepped it up and like changed things and kind of made it more exciting, I think, compared to what we've, you know, been through in the last two seasons. But like, I really love kind of like, you know, The Walking Dead kind of, it's its own area. We kind of understand that. Or, you know, seeing what that has done, like with the stories and like what their kind of ideas of how to take things. But then this show, you know, doesn't have any comic base as reference, but they're really doing some kind of like, I wouldn't want to say like Star Trek, but like, you know, where you take like kind of current events and like stuff that we are already kind of seeing in our own news today and just, here, you know, we're on the border with Mexico. You know, there's kind of that already kind of tension with, like, say, you know, like the Minutemen, and then, you know, what our current president and just immigration, kind of how that's going. And then you kind of are telling this story with our group, you know, of how, you know, like how Madison and the gang, is what I've been calling them, or the kids, you know, how they kind of end up making it into this new kind of group. And then it's just kind of watching how they're surviving, because, you know, they're not, you know, in that think mindset as the Ottos, you know, but they're trying to survive. So we're seeing them being thrown into these new situations that we haven't really seen on the Walking Dead. And, you know, there was nothing like that being kind of talked about. So I don't know. It's just this new kind of thing going on. It really is making the show more interesting and more, you know, fun to watch. Kind of.
I agree. And I am looking forward. I mentioned last week that I think her name is Lysandra Tena is in the main cast. Like, we see her show up in the credits every week, even though she's only been in the one episode. Mm-hmm. So her character is going to become much more prominent. And I think the second half, it has to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's on the other side of the border. And, you know, we've got the whole thing with Luciana, you know, I mean, she's still part of the cast, so I don't know how she's going to fit in the things, but, and, you know, we've got the whole Daniel and Ophelia. I figure by the end of the season, they've got to meet somehow.
I would expect something like that.
So, bottom line, yeah, I look back to 2A, the end of 2A, and, you know, I don't remember exactly what my rating was for the finale, but I know that when I came back for 2B, I wasn't all that excited about it. And I'm definitely excited to have Fear come back in September. Mm-hmm. And we didn't mention that yet, but it's coming back September 10th for another 2-episode, you know, much like we saw for the premiere and the mid-season finale, is going to be a 2-episode mid-season premiere. So it's kind of cool. The fact, and I did some math, and it turns out September 10th is, of course, a week after Labor Day, which I think they did an episode last year on Labor Day or the Labor Day weekend, and it didn't do very well. So they skipped that. But the week before that, that's the last episode of Game of Thrones. So, and if you didn't know, this coming Sunday is the first episode of season 7 of Game of Thrones. So AMC, I think, was brilliant in their, basically, they put the first 2 episodes the week after Memorial Day, so they wouldn't be on a holiday. They took a risk with the July 4th weekend, but you know, they basically got it out of the way before Game of Thrones, because who's going to be, I hate to say it, but who's going to be watching Fear, in first run versus Game of Thrones? I think Game of Thrones is going to set ratings records for itself this time out, because the buzz is so huge for that show. And if you haven't been paying attention,
wait a long time.
and we've had to wait a long time. And if you haven't been paying attention to the things I've said, I was not a big Game of Thrones fan a year ago. I am a huge Game of Thrones fan now. I binge through the entire show, over the Christmas break, and I'm, binging it now, hoping to get the binge finished before Sunday. So, although I'm taking a break because of Fear, but I've got about 20. I think I've got 23 episodes to watch between now and Sunday night. So, anyway, I think it's brilliant on AMC's part to do that. And I think, assuming they are going to make another 2-episode finale, and if The Walking Dead comes on the next weekend, that puts it on the 22nd. So it's, and if they, hold it a week, it would be the 29th, but I have a feeling they're not going to do that. I think it's going to come back the 22nd. Last year, it came back on the 23rd. So,
yeah. Well,
anyway,
sounds about right. And smart thinking on AMC, because really, it's not good to go against Game of Thrones.
especially with all the buzz. Like I say, all the buzz, I think it's just going to dominate the summer ratings. Probably get the highest ratings for all of TV in the summer, which, doesn't get the ratings that, it does in the fall, winter, and spring, but it's still, I really think that it's going to do well in the ratings. So, all right. Anyway, our next bit is from Dieta. She says, overall, the season ended on a decent note. I will continue to watch. Love to see Ophelia show up. I wish she would have kicked Madison's butt instead, and that knocked her down a few notches. I love Strand as always, but that darn Madison. And she gives kind of orangey, frowny faces. Otto was very racist. I guess he got what was coming to him. Oh, well. Yeah. I think that's an understatement. We knew he was, kind of, when it comes to that, he was kind of a dick, but we really got to know, see it firsthand what a dick he really was, we see what happened with, Ophelia, and he basically rejected her because she has brown skin. And she's an American citizen, speaks fluent English, and is college educated, and you rejected her because she's not, she's Hispanic. That is nuts. And I don't know, that it took me down a notch after seeing him do that to her. you know, which I kind of expected, or, you know, suspected, I guess you could say. But, and then of course what he said at the end, putting down his kids, putting down Madison, especially putting down Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, he said some bad things to Nick too. I mean, he was almost like daring him to kill him, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, we knew Otto had some, you know, like, you know, at the time, maybe early on, you'd be like, kind of had some biases, but wasn't really making anything really clear till being like full-fledged, like, you're kind of a racist. Like, he didn't let anything back once he felt threatened, and it was, you know, Walker, and it's, well, bye-bye, Otto. He's gone.
Yeah. And something, I don't think we've gotten the notes, but something I was going to mention, we see in that montage, they've taken his body out and it's all wrapped. And somewhere in between that montage and the final thing that we see, he was decapitated.
Yeah.
So I wonder how that went down. Like, what did she do? Replace his head with a cantaloupe or something? You know, big watermelon, yeah. Maybe.
I don't know, because really this, I think what I remember after that scene is the scene of her basically walking up to the casket. So he's already in a casket. So she must have chopped it up and re-nailed the casket. And so they buried him or something. I don't know. Like, that's the only thing I could think of, because I've heard I heard something like that too. It was like, well, when did she do it?
But yeah. And how, I mean,
I know that would have.
Did she borrow, you know, it looked like Walker had a katana or a similar blade.
Yeah,
did
like
she,
a big.
Hey, can I borrow your katana for a minute?
Deal is, we will call truce, but can I borrow that real soon? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Otto had a big, you know, basement full of stuff, so who knows?
Maybe.
All right.
All right. Next bit of feedback
Is from Whitney. She says, can't wait until second half of the season. Too bad it'll be 2 months wait. Oh, well, time to restart The Walking Dead from season one, especially before the Walker stalker Tulsa in 4 weeks. No comment on how many times we've seen the seasons. I always root for Fear the Walking Dead because it's the Walking Dead universe. There is so much I enjoy about Fear. Definitely a fan. Is it The Walking Dead, though? Nope. And no other show comes close. And she gives a little smiley face and a heart.
And I would definitely agree. You know, I don't know if Ruthie's going to go to Walker Stalker Tulsa or not. You know, she's close by Tulsa. But if she does, we'll let you know. And I totally agree about The Walking Dead. I mean, it is my favorite show. Well, you know, I mean, There are a lot of other shows that I love, but, you know, this one has a special place in my heart. All right. Now for some polls. So we did I actually did three polls this week, and it was kind of funny. It was after, something that was said on the Facebook group, something about Madison. And I thought, I want to poll people. I want to find out what people actually think about Madison. So before the finale, I did a poll and I made it very clear on there that this is the poll that you do before the finale, mid-season finale. And that poll was, you know, what do you think of Madison? So, okay. So the choices for what did you think of Madison, you know, before the mid-season finale were, I love her. I like her, but she's no Rick Grimes. She's okay. I tolerate her. I dislike her. I hate her. And then the final choice is Madison who? I don't watch Fear the Walking Dead. So the winner was I tolerate her. With 6 votes. I love her got 4 votes, as did she's okay. I dislike her got 2 votes. Madison who? I don't watch Fear the Walking Dead. Well, thank you, people, for rubbing that in. That got 2 votes. I Hate Her got 1 vote, and I Like Her, But She's No Rick Grimes got a certain vote from me. That was my vote. All right. So then after the finale, I did a second poll, and it's, of course, related to that poll. And the question was, now that you've seen the mid-season finale and the reveal about Madison's past in the mid-season finale, have your feelings about Madison Clark changed? And the 3 options were, my feelings changed in a positive direction. In other words, I like her more, or I dislike her less. Second, my feelings stayed the same. I don't like or dislike her anymore after watching. And then the 3rd choice is, my feelings changed in a negative direction. In other words, I'm liking her less or disliking her more. And here were, so basically what I was trying to judge is like, okay, after we see the things that happen in the mid-season finale and we finally get that backstory, did it change your impression of her? So the results on that were, my feelings changed in a positive direction, liking her more or disliking her less, got a total of 9 votes. So my feelings stayed the same, got 5 votes, and only 1 person said, my feelings changed in a negative direction. So overall, and I think a lot of it had to do with the backstory, people think of her in a more positive way after learning about that history about her. So what did that mean in terms of the 3rd poll, which was, guess what it was? This poll is only for people who have seen both parts of the mid-season finale. So after the mid-season finale, my feelings for Madison Clark, and I left this one a little more open than the 1st one. You could actually vote more than once, and you could put in your own answers. So the choices for that were, I love her. Again, I like her. I took out the Rick Grimes part. She's okay. I tolerate her. I dislike her. I hate her. So pretty much the same choices that you had, except for the I don't watch the show. But 2 people added some choices, and it was, the 1st one is, I'd never be your friend, but she's an interesting character. And then let's just say she's growing on me. So the results for that were, and this one didn't get as many people voting for it, but so let's just say she's growing on me got a total of 5 votes. I'd never be your friend, but she's an interesting character got 4 votes. I love her got 2 votes. She's okay got 2 votes. I dislike her got 2 votes. I like her got 1 vote. I tolerate her got 1 vote. And I hate her got 1 vote. So interesting. Seems like people seem to like her character more than they did.
Yeah. Well, I think after this, I think a lot of things, you know, we got to see a lot more about her that we've been seemingly waiting forever, kind of like waiting for Ophelia. And we finally got, you know, some answers and, or just, you know, some backstory, and it makes it more interesting.
I think it all had to do with Chris Farley.
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Oh, goodness.
I still think we could have seen her before episode 7, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she's back though, at least.
And it was kind of dumb that they, you know, made her the, like, surprise cast member, because you knew by the end of, or not even the end, but you knew early in act 1, I guess, of the 7th episode that she was on there and she played a big role. And yet they didn't say that she was the cast member until the show, until Talking Dead actually started.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I thought that was kind of dumb, but all right. Well, anyway, that's it for our feedback this week. So it's now time for us. So a word was used a lot in this, especially episode 7, that I don't hear a lot. And that is parlay.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to look up exactly what does that mean. It is a conference between opposing sides in a dispute, especially a discussion of terms for an armistice. So like I've heard, you know, parlaying something, but apparently that's different from parlay, although the origins are the same, but I guess it came out of French and that's why it's called parlay, although it's spelled like barley.
Yeah.
So you don't say parley, you say parlay.
Parlay.
I would like some barley, please.
Well, I mean, if anybody watched any of the Pirates of the Caribbean, they used, I don't know, is that the same? Because that was Jack say, or like as a pirate, there was like you could call parlay, and that was supposed to be like, you know, the pause in aggression for the moment. But
yeah,
I don't know if it's similar or.
Oh, yeah, you know. It definitely is based on the definition. I, you know, looked it up both on in the dictionary and on Wikipedia. And yeah. Yeah, because I've certainly heard the word before, but I've never really seen it used in this context before to the extent. Mm-hmm. At least I didn't like really I wasn't fully aware of it until this episode. But anyway, so getting to the parlay, do you think Alicia was correct? What would have happened if she had gone back and Jake had stayed back? Well, I will say this before you answer. I don't think Madison would have lost her crap the way that she did.
Yeah, I don't think she wouldn't have done anything of what she did. I wouldn't think. I mean, she took a lot of risks in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, until we obviously got the reveal.
Yeah,
it was. You know, if it wasn't her kids being the ones that were in danger, then if it was Jake, it'd have been like, oh, okay, well, you know, not my problem. But I don't know. She took so many boneheaded risks and ended up getting a lot of people killed.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, with the backstory, you understand that she was like, I'm not going to let anything ever happen to any of my kids, but. Not necessarily makes it the most smartest move, but
mm-hmm.
You know, she's kind of, I guess, I don't know, kind of makes me feel like, you know, Madison at this whole point though, she's not going to be on truly anybody's side. That's not hers.
Right. Yeah. Don't cross her because, and that's, you know, like Mr. Troy, which I still don't know where that's going. And thank God for, Chris Hardwick on Talking Dead, bringing that whole thing up.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping, and I'll post it once, we see them in, you know, actually it's not very long from now. It's, next Friday. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 11th. And on Friday, the 21st is, Comic-Con. The two shows are going to be on Comic-Con. So, and, you know, we'll see the trailers, mm-hmm. and we will see the panels. And I search for the panels being on YouTube, you know, and usually by the next day or two, there somebody has them posted. So when they do, I will post both panels up. But I do want to see what kind of questions get asked there.
Yeah. It should be interesting.
Yeah. But because I know he's going to be on there. He's like Daniel Sharman, who plays Troy. He's going to be on that panel, and he hasn't done Talking Dead yet. So I want to see what his reaction to that is, because there's definitely this sexual thing going on, and it's like, you know, it's mommy, but well, we've talked about it so many times, but it's just it's kind of weird. I really want to see where that goes, if that's going to go in that direction. So
like, give us some more insight on that. Whatever the question. I mean, yeah.
Put me to bed, change my diaper, you know, Paul my nut. I think I'm going to censor myself with that one. But anyway, whatever is going on with that, I hope we get some more actually of it. It's so weird that I like it. It's creepy and it's weird, and it's certainly nothing we've seen on the other show. So
yeah,
it's I don't know. Speaking of that whole sexual tension thing, we learned that Alicia's 18. So, and this kind of came up last week, we were wondering about that. So
yeah.
I guess any, statutory rape discussion is over now. I think my sense of humor is has taken a certain weird turn. Okay.
All right. Well,
not that we can kind move, of turn.
Well, we can move on to the next thing so that you can get off your Madison Troy kick.
So this answers one question too. I had wondered what the heck Walker wanted with the helicopter.
Yeah.
And I had to ask this question. Okay. He mentioned that he had these like fantastic mechanics that came out of the Iraq War. Does he have pilots too?
Yeah. I don't know. Cause I mean, you would have to assume that someone knows how to fly those. Cause he's got two mechanics. He's got, a sniper,
right?
You know, a very good sniper, you know, so you think, I don't know, like, were they, you know, previous military that were just what, you know, maybe part of that reservation or whatever. And then, you know, he does refer to, saying that he'll have an Air Force soon. So
yeah,
you kind of have to think, well, they've got people ready to fly. They just didn't have the, you know, machinery yet.
Right. And you know, it is enough to make you wonder, because like, you can be an airplane pilot, but flying an airplane is quite a bit different than flying a helicopter.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, it's I wouldn't say it's a different skill set. I probably most people that can fly a helicopter can fly an airplane, although I don't know that's for sure. But from what I know, there's a lot more that goes into flying a helicopter than flying an airplane.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at the cockpits and whatnot, like there's a lot going in those cockpits versus like even, you know, commercial jets or like the big, you know, passenger jets have got about as much controls as a helicopter. And if I'm wrong about this, please let me know, but this is just the impression that I have.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like your basic understanding of how they operate would be somewhat similar, but at the same time, yeah, helicopter kind of starts from a, you know, a standing location and then goes up, and an airplane, you have to actually, you know, build up speed and then pull it up to, like, you know, get in the air. So who knows, but maybe we'll get to see who those people are in the next half, because it's, maybe they'll go to war. During that whole like part two, it's like, I don't know if it was just me, but did you think it was strange that Alicia was referring to Travis as a family member and not like dad or
stepdad
or somebody more important than to her than just family member? Because I mean, I was reading Walker as being a very, you know, I get, you know, family, like as in his people kind of guy. And I felt like she could have used that to her advantage, maybe if she was kind of trying to play him some way or whatever. I don't know. It kind of caught me off a little bit of like, is that wrong or was she right?
You definitely weren't off there. I think you are correct. And, you know, I don't know what to to make of it, really. But, you know, they've had this difficulty in classifying what was Travis. Mm-hmm. And we've heard him referenced as boyfriend. We've heard fiance. We've heard husband. And, you know, Madison was referring to him as husband. And, you know, I already talked about that. But, you know, there's never been a clear definition of what Travis was. So, yeah, I think that saying family member wasn't as effective as saying, you know, stepdad. Of course, you know, I could see you're not saying dad, but certainly stepdad. I think he earned that right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and especially, you know, when she says, I was in that chopper, you know?
Yeah, no, I know, because she was like, I was in that chopper or that helicopter or whatever. It was like, I was in there and, you know, like, you killed my dad. I mean, it seemed like that would have been very kind of like, kind of, I don't know, you know, trying to like, hey, you hurt me really, really bad. Like, I don't know. It also kind of made me feel a little bit that like Alicia didn't really think of Travis in that way.
Right.
So it's like there's not really that emotional connection that, you know, you would have with your parental unit.
Yeah.
It's more like, oh yeah, my cousin. Well,
yeah.
Like it doesn't really hold that much weight. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So, my second cousin twice removed, you know, but yes. Yeah, I was in that chopper.
Get in the chopper.
Get in the chopper.
So I talked about the definition of parlay. Well, there was another one that was kind of in dispute, and that was the definition of apocalypse. You know, because Walker said that, or Taka, or Kataka, or whatever it was. I guess we'll just call him Walker, just to, because I didn't pay enough attention to get that right. But the definition of apocalypse, according to the dictionary definition, is much more as we think of it today. It says the complete final destruction of the world, especially as described in the biblical book of Revelation. And then second definition is an event involving destruction or damage on an awesome or catastrophic scale. Example would be a stock market apocalypse. So that's like more in tune of what we think of as apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So I also went to Wikipedia because I don't think I've mentioned this too much on the podcast, but I love Wikipedia. I spend hours on that website, probably per day. that's probably my number one site that I go to, especially if I'm just, you know,
yeah, trying to
passing time,
find something.
So accordingly, and this is compatible with what Walker said, it says in ancient Greek, it literally meant an uncovering. So, you know, unveiling, that's pretty much the same. It also says it is a disclosure of knowledge or revelation. In religious context, it is usually a disclosure of something hidden, a vision of heavenly secrets that can make sense of earthly realities. So that's interesting. That's kind of
It's kind of where he was going with. Well, yeah, because he does talk about how seeing I forgot what they're actually called, pictographs or whatever he called them. Saying like this was told, and I guess there was probably something in a Native American history or culture or, you know, lore that probably maybe talks about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he was like, no, this is like an uncovering of the new world, I guess, to because he did say he was like that will be returned to the first humans. And he used that a couple times. So he definitely sees him and like Native Americans and like as like the first humans, and everybody else is not.
Yeah. Yeah, first humans. I've never heard of the Native Americans called that before.
Yeah.
So, and some would argue that because I know that Native Americans, you know, crossed Bering Strait, I guess they say, about 40,000 years ago. So they were originally, you know, Asia or, you know, even Europe, and they crossed into North America and became so. But anyway, that's at least what anthropology tells you. So bottom line, though, certainly first humans that were in North America. But yeah, he certainly had kind of a very Native American centric view of what he was seeing. I mean, the idea that, you know, that the impure would be cast away or whatever. It didn't leave much room for anybody else. I mean, in some ways, it was kind of racist compared to Otto, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the,
in a way,
I mean, the other side of the coin, it's like, in a sense, it's not to say that he was being racist, but, you know, he was going against somebody who was basically against his life or way of life and his people. And, you know, that's kind of interesting because really in the end, how are those two types of ideology ever going to meet in the middle and actually work together? And then I guess that's what Madison was in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of reaching into there, but you know, she's in the middle, has nothing to do with those two sides, but she's the one that somehow basically gets them to stop. And
well, by eliminating one side.
Yeah.
We kind of learn, you know, we learn near the end of the second episode exactly what Otto did. And I mean, clearly Walker is pretty brutal, and we see that, you know, in the previous episode. But what was done to him and his people was also pretty brutal. I mean, yeah, they were killing cattle, but they responded by killing them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and basically covering it up. And, I'm really kind of curious about how that went down. Like, how much of the cover-up was the Ottos and, you know, the rest of Brokejaw, and how much of it was the police?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, clearly, you know, they didn't get justice, but I'm just curious exactly what the state police did. Did they sweep things under the rug, or they just didn't have enough evidence? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's an interesting theme that this show seems to be doing, though, like,
right,
compared to The Walking Dead, because it's like,
right,
you know, there are injustices in this world from, you know, different groups of people or however you want to look at it. And when the whole world falls apart, it's like, you know, then it's like there's nothing holding you back. So you can take your revenge. You can go to that darker side and start killing people and doing, right. Yeah. So I don't know. That's what makes this, to me, makes the show getting more interesting, because this story is something we've never seen before in this world.
We've definitely not like the sides have been more based on personality, not based on, you know, longstanding differences, mm-hmm. you know, or cultural differences. And we've kind of seen both in this show versus the Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I got a kick out of the way that Madison took down Ophelia. And she's like, you know, yelling, "What'd you do? What did you do?" And it reminded me of what we say to Shorty, who's right behind me as I podcast. When he does something bad or he gets into trouble, we'll say, "What'd you do?" And that always, he's not paying attention to me saying that now, but normally he'll give me this, kind of bashful, guilty face. But it just reminded me of that. But I thought that was kind of, I thought that whole thing was really shocking and, you know, cool. Remind me a little bit of Eugene. But I mean, Eugene hadn't tried to kill anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, man, you talk about Madison just going at it. She was punching her like like crazy. I mean, it was kind of a shock in the sense that I was like, wow, okay, yeah, Madison, yeah, you don't cross her. Like, she took the butt of the gun and like hit her in the broke the window and hit her in the face, then pulled her out, got on top of her, started just like swinging at her. Yeah, she went nuts. I don't know though, too. Like, so it surprised me that Ophelia, she turned against Madison and the gang. Like, I don't know. There was that sense to me on both sides that like Madison and them didn't, you know, they still had their hangups, I guess, with her leaving them at the hotel. And then Ophelia, I don't think she, I don't know. Cause she didn't know that what that poison, that it was anthrax. She just thought that, you know, they were going to go to, you know, fall asleep or something like that, or just be like sick, too sick to actually fight. So, I mean, I guess, you know, she probably might've felt bad doing that or a little conflicted, but you know, in the same deal, she's on the other side. Her enemy is in Jeremiah, you know, and Madison's in the way, you know? So, I mean, I guess I kind of like her telling Alicia that she was sorry about Travis. Kind of like, I'm, you know, let's like, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I was just looking, I just got a couple of notifications from Facebook. Malika said, just to add one thing that she didn't offer earlier, but we're kind of talking about these kind of things now. She found herself on the edge of her seat when Walker had Jake's head just about ready for the scalping. She says, I thought they were going to do it. And yeah, that's a really good thing to mention. I was like, oh my God, he's going to scalp him. And I was really only Ophelia saying something to him that stopped
him. That stopped him, yeah.
You know, because I really think he was going to go through with it. So yeah, that's and actually Dieta kind of agreed with that thing too. But also about the whole time jump thing, she mentions like when the scalping, you know, almost happened, and then they were throwing Ophelia off a motorcycle. She thought she had dozed off and missed something. So she rewinded and decided, oh, they just time jumped again. I didn't see it that way, but you know, more than one person said that. So
yeah,
I have to take that under advisement, but I didn't really notice a time jump, you know? So, and I didn't notice any differences in, you know, I didn't see Ophelia like not have any, bruises or, you know, cuts. And then suddenly she does, and then she doesn't again. I didn't see that. So, you know, maybe it was there, maybe it wasn't, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'll have to check it out again because, I mean,
yeah,
not something that I, yeah, that registered to me as being lost time or.
Yeah. I thought the second attack on Black Hat, which was Alicia's idea, was actually pretty ingenious. I mean, taking away, you know, his
trailer.
Those artifacts, which, you know, seem to have a lot of meaning to Walker and, you know, to I think the whole reservation was a good thing to, you know, and basically they did it without killing anyone this time. They diverted them, you know, they put fires, you know,
fires on there. Yeah.
Which could have, you know, made them lose water. You know, I think they finally just said, let them burn or whatever, but yeah. So, so a couple interesting things I got to say about Jeremiah, and I don't know if this is a tribute or what, but when Nick, you know, finds the skull and then confronts Jeremiah about it, I thought it was kind of funny that as Nick was coming in, he refers to Nick as standing there looking like some kind of ghoul. And just to explain that, when it comes to Night of the Living Dead, George A. Romero and like the production team were referring to, you know, the zombies in that movie as ghouls. I don't think they actually ever said it in the movie, but that's how they referred to them. And it was only, you know, later that the term zombie kind of took
the name.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool because I heard an interview a couple years ago, I guess, with one of the guys that was involved. And yeah, he was like, we didn't call them zombies. We just called them ghouls. I wonder how much the people sold the Otto family. You know, Otto says beer money.
Mm.
Like, exactly. And I guess it didn't seem like they got a lot of money out of it. But I am curious how that went down and how long ago it was. It made it sound like like he just said his progenitors or something. So how long ago did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, we know kind of based on his tapes and stuff like that. Didn't we kind of think that it was like, you know, said like 30 years that he knew what's his face? But because Jeremiah does say that like. Yeah. Like wasn't it his father or somebody like
I don't know if it was his father or grandfather, but it wasn't him.
Right. But he inherited it or took over. But yeah, it was like, so that was probably a long time ago. And I took for beer money. I didn't have it written down or anything like that, but I thought he was kind of making like a snide comment about like, oh, if they wanted this back, you know, like with their beer money, like, you know, basically saying like they don't have the money I kind of took it a little differently. I mean,
well, I think there's a double meaning there. I think that first of all, the fact that it was beer money to me meant they didn't get much for it. But secondly, it was a slant, just another racist remark.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how I felt too. It was him just being racist.
I got one other thing, I think, and then into detail about it. So I'm going to let you drive, but I'll just say, I thought it was interesting when Alicia, it was just before the clip that I picked out where Alicia says, you know, we're on the wrong side.
Yeah. No, and in that part, because I wrote some of that down from the dialogue, but like that was whenever Alicia was finding out about them knowing about Troy, and when she was asking like, does Jake know? And then that's where she goes into like, it doesn't change anything, and Alicia's like, it changes everything. We're on the wrong side. And then she's like, sides don't matter. The only thing that matters is the future. It does make you like looking forward to like the next half and just all the things that they've left open that can totally now happen, you know, just with the whole change of leadership.
Yeah. It is your turn.
All right. Now I watched this like quite a few times. Cause I don't know. I really liked it. And I liked it for Strand's character. It was, you know, the whole scene with Strand and finding the Abigail and, you know, like getting up to, or after he killed the walker or the infected. But like, he looked like he was contemplating some kind of end of like to his story, you know, and then he like had the champagne, you know, the Abigail's been ruined, but then he starts kind of messing with the radio and then gets, you know, the cosmonaut, you know, that somehow he happened to be flying over at the right time for Strand. But you know, it's like, what was his name? Vashenko.
Yeah.
It was the name of the cosmonaut. But you know, here it is like now there's Strand is hearing from someone that's more alone than him. And he's like out in space. And then he finds a little more information about like, you know, that like Vashenko mentions that the lights went out 3 days before his scheduled reentry. So it's like, how long has he been up there? And you know, how much time has, you know, we passed for us in the show? Cause we don't really have a total good timeline. Do we?
Not really.
We kind of have a guess, but you know, probably like 4 months max, or has it been?
I'm thinking it's around the same time as we saw in season two of The Walking Dead, like during the farm. Or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe at least at the start of it, maybe was around that time. Maybe it's a little past that now.
Mm-hmm.
But not season three, because that several months passed.
Yeah, because that's they do that whole cold open where they're like been scavenging forever, wasn't right. it? Or
right. And Lori wasn't showing, you know, in season two, and she's very much, mm-hmm. you know, she's about to drop when.
Yeah, so back to like what I was like during that time, you know, he's saying the 3 days were scheduled, but I also like he did call it a dramatic show. Or so it, like for one soul side note, it's like him being up there and like dramatic, you know, like what happened? Like what did he see, you know? Like or like nuclear bombs going off, like how did the lights go off, or was that him just like his communications went out or something like that, or was it like the firebombing of the cities like we saw in The Walking Dead when they bombed Atlanta? So I don't know, that was just kind of a curious little side note of like how the rest of the world ended. But then, you know, Strand starts with his game, and I caught on to some of this, but I didn't really understand exactly what it was until I read the captions. But it's like he goes on with this, you know, his famous last words of various famous people. And it's like Chekhov, Oscar Wilde, Eugene O'Neill, Karl Marx at the end, or Marx. And we knew Strand was a very smart guy, and he really seemed to be enjoying this little intellectual back and forth with Vashenko. And like in the end, though, it's like Strand says the world is dead, and as he's losing the signal from the Russian, you know, Vashenko, he like says, he's like, nah, the world will not die until you die. Do not wait for your deathbed to enjoy your champagne, Victor. Have a glass for me. And then like at that point, you see him kind of break down a little bit, but you also kind of, I don't know, I caught where it just felt like he got a little new outlook on life, because I think he was about to just, I don't know, either just stay on the boat, drink himself, you know, maybe he was going to burn himself on the boat. I don't know. I just, that scene, I just loved it so much.
Yeah. I wasn't sure, like, you know, when I first saw when he got on the ship, was he going to try to get the ship, you know, out of the,
like working or,
yeah. I mean, it seemed must have that the, you know, the ship had beached. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's even possible to get it out of that. Probably not.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what were his plans? Was he just going to, you know, live out there or what? But, and then was he going to kill himself? I hadn't really figured out what was going on with him, but yeah, I mean, he could have gone out there to die. The thing that I had to wonder after is like, okay, Strand, you know, he mentions that, you know, he's been up there and, you know, this big show and stuff, but he never asked him like more about it. Like, what did he hear? What did he see? You know, like he could have gotten a lot of information out of Vashenko, but he didn't try. And you know, like, okay, we do find out that it's global, but I think at least those that watch The Walking Dead kind of knew that already, because we knew from the CDC that, you know, Jenner said to Rick, it was the French, you know, the French were the closest to finding a cure. And the fact that the French were working on it stands to reason. And he says, you know, he also said that the power went out there. Mm-hmm. So, well, stands to reason that, it certainly hit Europe. So, you know, one can, you know, kind of take that, to the next logical step, and it's probably a global phenomenon. You know, mm-hmm. like certain places that are more isolated, like New Zealand, maybe they got away, you know, but mm-hmm. I doubt it. I mean, it's probably something that, to affect, you know, basically no matter how you die, you come back as
as a walker.
Yeah. Probably affected everyone globally, versus, cause you know, how that transpires, nobody knows, but I mean, it stands to reason that it probably went global, you know, even like Greenland and, you know, the mm-hmm. northern parts of Alaska and, you know, Canada up in the Northwest Territories and whatnot. Nunavut, they probably, you know, all got it. So it was airborne, I imagine. But we don't know. We'll never know.
Right, exactly. That's Kirpin not
will never tell us.
Ever told. Yeah. No, and I guess in a sense, too, just a kind of maybe what they were trying to do was Strand kind of during that conversation, you know, he was, Vershinko like basically says like, oh yeah, I saw the lights go out, you know, and he was like, well, at least you got to go to space. But I think maybe Strand at that point also was like, oh, so there really is nothing. Like maybe it was just enough for him to be like, there isn't maybe hope. You know, like he has no other person to scam or buddy up to, you know, totally like give his watch to say, hey, give me passage to the safe place. It's kind of like it's over.
Reminds me of kind of Andrea's reaction at the CDC. Like, you know, she's like, so what you're telling us is there's nothing. And
no hope.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like he could have asked more questions because, you know, like you figure he's going to be like, you know, he's in orbit. So he's traveling across the world, you know, and his orbit, he's not in, you know, geosynchronous orbit. He's obviously, you know, traveling across different, you know, areas of the earth. Probably got a lot of, he probably talked to a lot of people. He probably... There's so much that he could have learned. And, you know, like this would be an awesome thing. Forget about hashtag passage or flight 462. I want to see some webisodes with these two.
Oh, yeah, totally. That would be awesome. Or, even just with, the Russian.
Yeah.
Just his little, that story would be fun. Just him.
Yeah.
Going up there, and then all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm going back. And they're like, oh, wait, you know, you have to stay up there for a little longer. There's something going on. And then.
The show did last season, they did this like radio thing where it was, I think they called it radio waves, but it was basically they published them as podcast episodes where it was like a drama. It was almost like the webisodes were, but you're kind of following some people that were, you know, talking to each other over the radio. And so I would love to hear some kind of thing with just Vasily talking to other people. And, I mean, it made me think, okay, he's eventually going to descend to Earth. And I guess he can't control the landing on his own. I guess,
maybe he has to get the telemetry from Mission Control,
right?
Like something like that,
right? So I hadn't, you know, I was like, oh, I hadn't thought of that, but it makes total sense, I guess, that without them, he's kind of he's just basically
He's lost in space.
Yeah, a satellite falling to Earth. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be like Skylab. One final thing I noticed that I didn't mention, and it had to do with Ophelia and Jeremiah. We see Ophelia basically, you know, burning up, and, you know, she's pretty close to death, I guess, when Walker finds her. Mm-hmm. But we see that, you know, she had a big, you know, jug of water, and she clearly lost it. So, like, I know that when she was, like, running, she dropped it, but, like, unless there was no cap, or, you know, she lost it in a place where she just couldn't find it anymore. I mean, what happened to that bottle?
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember it falling, but I don't know. I didn't see it leaking or you didn't see that there was no water in it.
Right. I had to ask that one question. So, all right. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't. I believe that was it.
Okay. To submit your feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio, use the SpeakPipe widget that's on there, or you can call the voicemail, which is 304-837-2278. I don't know if anybody had left any voicemails for us this time around, because that voicemail is controlled by someone who's out of the country. So we wouldn't have been able to play it. So we'll find out when he gets back. But yeah, so if we missed your feedback and you sent us a voicemail, sorry about that. We'll eventually play it when we come back. But most people send us their feedback through the Facebook group. And again, that's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And if you are not a member, the deceased Ron says,
"Are you serious?
Are you serious?
Are you kidding me?"
Negan. Yeah, we got a couple new people joined recently, so welcome. Yeah. The deadline for submitting feedback is Tuesday, September 12th, since we know when it comes back. Mm-hmm. 6 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Central Time. So we will probably be off the air. We may come back for something about the Comic-Con panels and trailers. It'll probably be like a joint. Hopefully we'll get...
And I'm Ruthie.
...to come back, and we'll talk about both shows. If you also... Another way to contact us is through our Twitter, which is WalkingDeadGSM. And if you want to support us, first of all, please subscribe to us. You can actually help other people find us simply by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts, or if you use the client on your desktop, the Apple iTunes. 'Cause actually subscribing to us helps bring us up in the rankings. So, and of course, giving us a 5-star rating or review is very helpful. I was just checking to see if we've gotten any new ones, and we don't, but that is, you can find us by simply doing a search for The Walking Dead. You can get right to us if you search for Talk Through. You can also go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple, which will bring you to the GSM page within Apple Podcasts. And that will give you also all of the other podcasts in the GSM network. And we've played promos for many of the podcasts in the last few episodes. I'm not going to play one now because we don't have any other new ones to play, but, yeah, please, if you watch other TV shows, give our network an opportunity to stimulate you with our great hosts and content. It's probably the last time I'm going to mention this. GoFundMe.com/TWD, TT Brian hard drive to help pay for the SSD that I purchased for this laptop because it was incredibly slow and causing me issues. So the laptop's been a lot better since then, but I'm still paying off the SSD. So you can help me by going to that link. And there are other ways to support us. GoldenSpiralMedia.com/support. Okay.
Cool.
Take us out, at least partially.
Yeah, I know. We just got a few little tidbits coming up. But yeah, so the next episode is season 3, episode 9 and 10. We don't have the titles yet or who it's written by, directed, or the description, which I'm sure Comic-Con will release a bunch of that. It's set to premiere on September 10th, and the scene shown on Talking Dead shows Walker's people moving into Brokejaw Ranch in what looks like a combination of the two groups.
Yeah, so there's a merger, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing that, it makes me wonder, what if the governor had taken Rick up on his offer to share the prison? I mean, mm-hmm. would that have worked? I don't think it would have based on the governor, but it's kind of interesting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't see the governor wanting to let any of his people, though, go to the other side. Yeah. Let's see. That could have caused a problem, but who knows? I knew one of the things that kept, you know, and I've heard people talk about it before, and just, it's like, you know, water has been mentioned throughout this whole season, you know, and like that seems to be like that's that what they call the currency, you know, like that's the big important thing that everybody needs.
Right.
And so it's like, are we going back to the dam? It's like, you know, we never saw Daniel in these two episodes by Ophelia, but besides Ophelia's heat stroke vision. Right. And we still have Strand out there. But obviously, I like before I got, you know, to this, you found it before I did. I guess the AMC blog has some stuff that might answer those questions.
Yeah. So what I found was, it says Fear the Walking Dead season 3 will return on Sunday, September 10th at 9/8 Central with two back to back episodes. The conclusion of season 3 will consist of 8 episodes as the Clark family deals with the fallout from the mid-season finale. And it goes on to say, in the second half of season 3, the Clark and Otto families have secured an uneasy truce with Walker and the nation. Former enemies must find a way to survive together. Tension mounts at Brokejaw Ranch as their militia is decimated, resources are scarce, and the dead are encroaching. Meanwhile, the Gonzales Dam, where Strand was imprisoned and Daniel Salazar has found a home, is a source of life in a drought-stricken world. In his new home, Daniel has again become El Soldado. Don't know what that means, but
yeah,
I guess that means he's, you know, the enforcer or soldier. I don't know what it means, but anyway, and bides his time in service to Lola and the dam, but hasn't given up the ghost of Ophelia. Strand, on the other hand, has hit rock bottom and desperately needs a partner to harness the world's only currency if he knows he is going to be resurrected.
Hmm. That's a lot.
Yeah. It is a lot. You know, I look forward to see what happens. And
yeah, no.
Is Strand going to go back to the dam or what? What's going to happen to him?
Yeah. And we know now that Daniel went back. And I guess he's with Lola.
Mm-hmm.
And really, this whole Brokejaw Ranch as their militia is decimated. I mean, what does that mean?
That is the bad coffee.
I guess so. Or is it after the fact?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have to think that it has to do with the
Yeah, I guess now that I'm reading it again, yeah, that makes sense. Because they basically did say, Troy said, it's like, oh, it's basically just me. So,
yeah.
Okay. I was reading that
after. Basically, him, Nick now and probably Madison and, you know, whoever they team up with, probably Ophelia. I could see her getting involved. But, you know, they're going to need to have people to do that same kind of work to keep out the... Yeah, well, what they really need to do is train everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that's it for this episode. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is
Fear the Walking Dead Talk-Through.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.